Welcome to a special EduTech Guys presentation, recorded live at FETC 2022 in Orlando, Florida. Enjoy the conversation.
Hey, welcome back to FETC 2022. It's been a great day. Day three, the excitement's building,
yeah.
And we're excited to have our next guest in front of us.
Yeah,
we're going to let him introduce himself, tell us who he is, what he does, and all that kind of stuff. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Dr. Chase Nordengren. I am the Principal Research Lead for Effective Instructional Strategies at NWEA, and I have recently put together a book called Step into Student Goal Setting, which is all about using student goals to push student growth, motivation, and agency.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
So what brings you to FETC? Doing sessions?
I'm presenting a session down at the Thought Leadership Theater this morning, and the book has just come out, so we're really getting a chance to hopefully try to connect with people, share some of the insights in the book, and hopefully get it out there.
Yeah, cool. We always say that FETC is such a big conference. It's a great place for educators to come and get that first bird's eye view. And then it regional, and then back down to the PD at the school even.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your session. Can you give us a bird's eye view of what we can expect to get from today?
Sure, absolutely. So in the course of about a half an hour, I walk through the research that's behind the book and some of the work that I've done with educators to kind of make that research real. Taking all of these insights that we've built from new research in neuroscience and the brain into the effectiveness of goals as a tool to improve student motivation, and trying to connect that with some concrete classroom strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So taking what I've learned from conversations with 9 educators and kind of tying that back to the research, saying, this is what this is an example of, and this is how you can start to think about applying it yourself.
So if you don't mind sharing, what would you say, or what are some student goals that translate into actionable items?
Sure. One of the processes that we walk through in the book is taking something like an academic standard at whatever grade level you have and trying to connect that to something that's really meaningful in a student's life. So one of the teachers in the book talked about a student who was really into frogs. He was a first grader. He was really into frogs. The books he was reading about frogs were not telling him anything he didn't already know. He was getting pretty bored. So she used that as a motivator to say, if you want to read these more complex books about frogs, here's the steps that we're going to have to walk through in your reading proficiency in order to get you there. And that was really motivating and inspiring to him because he, really wanted to get to those future books.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting. You've made this it sounds like the book to me is more teacher-centered, right, to the, let's drill down to where it needs to happen. I think, so realizing that the world we live in now is not as goal-oriented as we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to explain that, and here's the interesting, we need a lot of educators that I don't believe sometimes they're very goal-oriented. So do you think that this will help them understand they've got to achieve goals first before they can actually understand how to help students achieve those goals?
Yeah, I hope so. I think all of the educators in the book set goals themselves and
uh-huh.
really used their personal experience as an opportunity to engage kids, right? Kids are really good at detecting hypocrisy. They know when we're asking them to do something that we're not willing to do
right.
ourselves.
Yeah.
And so those were great opportunities to connect with students about some of those pieces. I'm glad you mentioned the situation we're in because I think as we start to hopefully come out of the pandemic and back into this environment where students are in all sorts of different places,
mm-hmm.
right? Some research we've looked at suggests students could be at 5 different grade levels of proficiency within
mm-hmm.
the same grade level, right?
Yeah.
I think teachers really need practical ways that they can serve students who are all across that spectrum. And goals are a really great way to bring kind of the language and the techniques that are necessary to set each student off on their different path and make sure that they have the opportunity to keep growing even if they're starting from 2-3 grade levels behind.
Well, and I think this has the potential, whether this is intended or not, I think the research behind this and the fact that it's in printed form, in a book that is tangible that folks can get a hold of, I think it truly has the potential for district leaders and really, all the way up to departments of education, to reevaluate the way student education, the way students progress through education.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of, or hearing, let's do it this way, we're hearing a lot of talk about goal-oriented assessment, goal-oriented advancement. We're not in our experience, we're not seeing a lot of that yet. You know, there's a whole lot of lip service, and so far there's not a whole lot of action on that. But I it sounds to me like the research that you've done and the findings that you've come up with and the results of some of that research could really help motivate those people who are in the positions to help actually change the way we do education by helping those students by saying, like you said, you know, you're going to have students who are at multiple levels in multiple subjects. So if you've got a student who is completely excelling, you know, at their quote-unquote third grade math level, why are we holding them back at a third grade math level? Let them go up until the point where they are starting to struggle, and then at that point, okay, we know where you are, we know where we can meet you, here are your goals that you can reach to continue. At the same time, maybe they're still at a second grade literacy level. Okay, so how do we bring that along, you know, and not keep everything tied to, you know, what year is it, and that determines what grade you're in? Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that my organization, NWEA, is offering a professional learning series attached to the book where all the participants get a copy of the book.
Awesome.
And can kind of walk through the exercises and the learning they're in. But I think our intent is to kind of meet everybody where they are. So if you're, you know, a classroom teacher, we're going to provide the kind of structured supports for you to think about how can I apply this in some really specific ways with my group of students now, even if my district isn't ready to make that kind of massive cultural change yet. If you're a district administrator, you know, encourage you to pick up the book, kind of think through some of those things and think through what those next steps might be, right? Next steps for school design and for district design. I don't think the book, you know, kind of is prescriptive about that in terms of what that should look like. But if you can imagine, you know, the blossoming of 100 different teachers engaged in some of these practices, I think that starts to form the foundation for a district thinking differently about how they structure those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to see what comes of this. I know the book's about to come out. This is the, you know, this is what's going to happen here. I feel like we'll be talking again maybe next year about the next book and the progression that this is going to take you. Where do you see that progression going?
Yeah, well, I'm really interested in the ways that you know, contemporary neuroscience has intersected with the way that we think about education. So we have these ideas that have become kind of conventional wisdom in education circles, that every student has an individual learning trajectory, that they're based on their needs and their interests. Those are still relatively fresh ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't think our educational systems, to your point, David, have adjusted fully to meet those new realities. So what I'm interested in exploring next is again, kind of finding ways to take that research, to apply it to classroom practice, and use that as an opportunity to reflect about how can we start to think about the ways that classrooms and schools should be structured differently to meet what we now know.
Yeah, knowing what I know about you now and this little bit of interaction, what age do you think the brain starts teaching itself and deciding, you know, which path am I taking? Where am I going? You know, when do we need to hit this? I mean, you know, well, we know at birth, but you know, as public educators, when do we really need to? Where do we need to stress, and how do we help them along to find that path?
Yeah, so I, you know, talk to first grade teachers in the book. Talk to teachers who said start the first week of kindergarten, and those goals look a lot different than they look when you come out of high school. But by starting, you know, perhaps with those kind of group behavior goals, you know, how many times this week are we going to line up quickly and quietly,
right?
That sort of thing. You build the culture and the expectation for kids so that it starts to become, goal setting starts to become kind of force of habit.
Right.
And that, you know, if you plant that seed early, by the time kids start to get into third, fourth, fifth grade, they take more and more ownership over the work of setting the goals themselves. And, you know, by the time they reach middle grades, high school, that's when they're really kind of taking control and mastery over that process for themselves.
Do you think, I've been 30 years in education, and I was a band director of music. So I did that for a while, and I've done the whole bit. So I've seen all kinds of learners. Mm-hmm. I've seen those with photographic memories. I've seen those with, you name it, didactic memories. And I can pick those out pretty quickly, and then I can help them go, hey, this is the route you need to go. Do you believe that there are some students that, for yourself, do you remember when your goals changed, that you decided I was going this way and maybe I changed my goals? Was it elementary grade? Was it middle school grade? Was it high school? Was it college?
Oh, I think all of the above.
Right.
You know, when I was in third grade, I wanted to be a meteorologist because I saw Twister, and Twister was fantastic.
Yeah, exactly, it was.
But what you describe, I think, is really important because it describes what I think of as the role of the teacher in this process. I think there's a little bit of fear that if I hand over a lot of control and ownership to students, what is there left for me to do in the classroom?
Right.
But our students still need mentors. They still need coaches. They need people who can see their ambitions and their interests and, you know, gently route them into the areas that are going to help them, yes, meet academic standards, but also experience success, right?
Right.
Students can bite off more than they chew sometimes. There's another example in the book about a second grader who wanted to read Harry Potter, and he was not quite there yet.
Right.
So what did the teacher do? First, just let him sit down with Harry Potter, let him experience a little bit of that, you know, gentle failure to meet the goal, and then said, okay, now that we know that this is where you're going and this is where you're headed, let's plan out a scope of learning so that you can gradually build your reading level up and get there.
Yeah, and the fun part will be getting to that for every child. That's the hard part.
Absolutely.
Right there. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great.
So many times when we think of, when goal setting is discussed, and especially the motivation to achieve those goals, unfortunately, oftentimes it's discussed very extrinsically, mm-hmm. when really it's got to be an internal motivation. And and stories like those, where you've got the student who really, really wanted to read Harry Potter, that is intrinsic. That's that student. That's not me telling that student, you're going to read Harry Potter, and so therefore thou shalt. It's hey, I want to do this, and how do I get there? And going to your point about teachers being the guide, right? So that teacher guides that student down the path. Now, is it going to be tomorrow? No, it's going to take you some time to get there, but that's, you know, they can lay out that path and help that student. And I think the research and the work that you've done in print, where folks can, you know, look at it, study it for themselves, reach their own conclusions. I love that you said your research and the way you're presenting it is not prescriptive. You know, here it is. You use it the way you need to, well, to meet your own goals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If folks want to get in touch with you, mm-hmm. Want to find out more, what's the best way they can do that?
They can go to nwa.org, mm-hmm. And I'm located there. You can search my name, NORDENGREN, and find all my contact information. The book has just come out on Corwin Press, so you can go to corwin.com and take a look there.
Yeah.
Always happy to talk to people about kind of how they're thinking about this, how they're looking to apply it, and, you know, different ways that we can help them think about how to do goals better.
Awesome. Step into Student Goal Setting. Great book at Corwin. Yeah. Chase, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, man, have a great FETC.
Hey, you too.
Awesome.
You've been listening to a special EduTech Guys presentation recorded live at FETC 2022 in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for listening.